Several Jewish organizations and individuals have spoken out in support of Palestinian liberation and opposed the conflation of criticizing Israel with anti-Semitism. There have also been reports of isolated incidents of anti-Semitic threats in the past few weeks, which has caused concern among the Jewish community. I spoke to the co-founder of Alternative Jewish Voices, Marilyn Garson, who lived in Gaza for 4 years, about the difference between calling out the injustices of the Israeli government's actions and being anti-Semitic, and their calls for New Zealand political leaders and their response to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Here is that interview. Pro-Israel advocates will often conflate being critical of Israel as being anti-Semitic, but we have seen reports of isolated incidences of anti-Semitic threats globally. What should people be aware of when it comes to being critical of Israel while also acknowledging the atrocities experienced by the Jewish diaspora?
The great majority of people that I've met protest Israel's occupation and now its attack on Gaza because it is wrong. It's illegal. Palestinian rights, Palestinian autonomy are systematically denied. That protest isn't about Jews and it isn't anti-Semitic. I hope that is a familiar message by now, but a couple of new things are happening. Israel's defense minister has said that Hamas is worse than the Nazis, that Palestinians are human animals. That's disgusting. That's the kind of dehumanization that we know precedes genocide. And following that, I've begun to see a few New Zealanders protest by linking Israeli or Jewish symbols with Nazi symbols or words. I find that offensive. It's woefully ignorant. Really, we need to argue it every time we see it. Let the Holocaust be the Holocaust. Let this attack be named accurately. Everyone really needs to stand back from those symbols, which are particular. I also see that the threats are rising, both against Jews and Muslims. You know, I don't suggest that members of my synagogue are threatening the mosques, and the fact that Muslim people are protesting should not threaten the Jews. This is not about our religion. There are real, hardcore, Islamophobic and anti-Semitic people, including some far-right groups. They are trying to capitalize on this war by normalizing their racism. I've seen and I've received messages that pretend to be pro-Palestinian, but they look a lot more like white supremacist hate to me. So I want to acknowledge the rising levels of racial threats, but I think we don't need to be made afraid of each other. Let us look for the real source and just refuse to be led into racism.
As a Jewish person who has lived in Gaza, can you tell me a little bit about what life was like there for you?
It's an interesting question. When I went there, I was so surprised by the intricacy of mutual aid, of neighbors. It was a remarkably sophisticated response to circumstances. And for me, that became very important. I had to stop and ask myself why I was so surprised by Gaza in particular. I worked in a lot of war-affected communities. Why did Gaza's ability surprise me so much? And that became the starting point of a real learning journey for me as I had to unlearn my own Zionist upbringing and re-examine the assumptions that I brought with me to Gaza.
We've seen in New Zealand media or just media across the globe that a specific perspective, a specific type of Jewish voice is being given more attention. How do you feel about who the media is predominantly reaching out to get a Jewish perspective?
We, Alternative Jewish Voices, we have long challenged the mandate of the media's usual suspects. They call themselves the community representatives, but they're not elected. They are appointed by the boards of a few Zionist institutions, and no one else speaks. That is not representation, and these people have broadcasted their intention to disempower any dissenting Jewish voice. That's one problem. I think there is also confusion now about a number of New Zealand organizations with names that include Israel or Holocaust or anti-Semitism. People assume they are Jewish community voices. They're actually majority or entirely Christian at their executive level, and they overlap extensively with right-wing political lobbies like the Free Speech Union, the Taxpayers Union. We need to understand that Zionism is more than a Jewish initiative in this country, and we need to understand the voices that are being given airtime.
We've seen calls for different measures to address the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, including a humanitarian pause or a humanitarian truce or a ceasefire. So can you tell us what these terms actually mean and what you believe we should be calling for?
Yes, thank you. Really important. And it's a very two-phased answer. A humanitarian pause is absolutely essential because a pause suspends the firing for some hours so that trucks can distribute. People can leave their homes and look for food, look for each other without being under fire. A truce or a ceasefire, those are more extensive agreements to stop firing. That's essential because this needs to stop, but the agreements always seem to be predicated on future discussions that never happen. In Gaza, you live your life in a pause between bombardments. So all of these immediate measures are absolutely needed to save lives. We must have them. I applaud every call for them, but that is only half the job. Our governments need to stay with it, to press for real dialogue, for real change, real solutions that are based on the equal rights of every human being and international law. So those are the two phases of my response. Ceasefire now, but that's not enough. Stay with it and address the cause.
I'm also wondering what your thoughts are on claims that Palestinian liberation or having Palestinians live freely in Israel or abolishing the state of Israel would mean that Israeli citizens or even going as far as Jewish people would be wiped out. How do you feel about these claims that are being made by pro-Israel advocates?
Right. So let's first distinguish between the state of Israel and the individuals who live there, whatever their religion is. For some time, I and my co-founder, we have written, did the state of Yugoslavia have a right to exist? States exist and enter the international community based on their fulfillment of their obligations. Governments change. Regimes change. So the regime that is based on Jewish supremacy and occupation and this kind of militarized, violent suppression of another people, that is not a legitimate government. That regime would absolutely need to change if every person living under its rule had a say in the way that they are governed. Does it mean an end to the individuals? Well, no. War means an end to individuals. If Palestinians are self-determining and voting and deciding like every other people has a right to be, then that's the beginning of a conversation about coexistence.
What would your call be to New Zealand politicians in terms of the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and what is going on and what has been going on for decades?
In the Jewish religion, we say that each life has the potential and the value of a world. 10,000 worlds have been wiped out. So I would call on them first to save lives. Save each life that can still be saved. And then it is not our place to take sides and say it should be one state, two state, whatever. It is our place to set the conditions and require change to happen. So I would say to them, first, cease fire. Assist the people who are in such desperate need. And then stay with this issue. Apply pressure. Don't normalize what has been happening. Require change.
That was co-founder of Alternative Jewish Voices, Marilyn Garson, on the difference between anti-Semitism and being critical of Israel, as well as their calls for New Zealand's response on the humanitarian crisis in Gaza.